Welcome, everybody, to the Behind Our Eyes book launch for January 2023. Tonight, we have a special guest for you, author Trish Hupshman. I'm going to send this off to Abby, but first we're going to hear from Marlene because she has a special treat for us. Marlene is going to describe Trish's photo that we put up for the people who have the benefit of sight. They can see it, and for us, Marlene is going to describe it. So go ahead, Marlene.
On the screen, we have a very beautiful picture of Trish Hupshman in profile holding up a copy of her latest book, Gale's Tales.
Go ahead, Abby.
So I'm going to read an introduction that Trish composed about the book, and then we'll go into a short interview with her and me, and then at the end, we'll have time for questions. So, introduction to Gale's Tales, an overview of the book series. By Trish Hupshman, September 2022. Those of you who have read my Tracy Gale books already know the characters and probably love them as much as I do, except the bad guys, of course. For those who haven't read the books and don't know the characters, let me introduce them. My hero is Danny Tide. He's the leader of the popular rock band Tidal Wave. There are five members of the band: Ricky Trapp on bass, Tony Miller on drums, Jim Crown on guitar, and the most recent addition, Mike Carson on keyboards. Danny also plays guitar and does lead vocals. His home base is Bel Air, California. Tracy Gale is my private eye. She has a two-bedroom ranch house on the north shore of Long Island, New York. She runs a one-woman detective agency. The agency consists of just her and her secretary, Lois. Tracy's a pro at finding missing persons, dead or alive. Her closest friend, associate, confidant, whatever you want to call him, is Doug Johnson. He's a homicide detective with the New York Police Department. He's divorced and has a daughter, Kim. There are many more characters in the novels and the short stories in this book, but Danny, Tracy, and Doug are the most prominent and important. How did Danny and Tracy meet? Tidal Wave was on summer tour. They put on a show at Jones Beach on Long Island. There was a few days break before they had to be at their next stop in Philadelphia. So they decided to enjoy the sun, surf, and sand on Long Island's South Shore while Danny and his then girlfriend, Laura Wells, were hanging out on the beach. Tidal Wave's tour bus burst into flames. Police Detective Doug Johnson, who just happened to be in the area, was on the scene. Since the police couldn't do much except ask around if anybody had seen anything suspicious, Johnson recommended that his friend, Private Eye Tracy Gale, go on tour with Danny and the band to do some undercover sleuthing. Danny was for the idea and hired her. They started out as boss and employee, but their friendship grew. The chemistry between them was perfect. It happened all by itself. They became the best of friends and more. How and when were these two wonderful characters created? Actually, Danny and Tracy came about at different times and for different projects. Danny came first. Let me explain. In 1997, my husband took me to Radio City Music Hall in New York City to see the rock band Styx. It was their reunion concert. We had 8-row orchestra seats. I was totally mesmerized as I watched these guys sing, play instruments, and move around on stage. It had been 14 years since they had played together, and everything came together perfectly. Plus, I fell in love with the lead guitarist and singer, Tommy Shaw. He was a good-looking man with muscular arms and a great voice. I asked my husband a lot of music-related questions. A story was forming in my head. 3 days later, we saw the same band perform the same show at Jones Beach on Long Island. By then, I was itching to sit down and create a story. And I did. Danny Tide was born. He was a good-looking, multi-talented musician. I starred him in two novel-length romance stories, A Song for Love and A Song to Remember. I even wrote a song of my own for the second book. At that time, I had just joined a writer's group, Long Island Romance Writers. A Song for Love was the first book I presented to them. That was as far as this work of fiction went. I ended up tossing Danny and those two manuscripts in a drawer and pretty much forgetting about him for years. Tracy Gale came into being around 2010. I had been writing mystery short stories and enjoying the process. In those stories, the cops usually did the crime solving, or a person involved in the story did. But I was a big fan of Sue Grafton's Alphabet Detective series, and I wanted my own private investigator. Then I heard a shocking but interesting story in the news. This woman and her husband were in a parking lot, and somebody shot and killed her husband right in front of her. When the police investigated, they discovered that the husband himself was a bad guy. He was suspected of embezzling $2 million from his company with his partner. The stolen money had vanished. The partner didn't have it and suspected that this woman's husband had double-crossed him and pocketed the loot himself. I couldn't touch the murder end of the story. That was for the police. But I wanted to know what happened to the $2 million. Enter Tracy Gale, Private Eye. She's a female Dick Tracy. She unearthed the missing money and solved a bunch of other cases. The short stories were rolling into one another, and I was having a ball. In 2012, during Superstorm Sandy, a major hurricane on Long Island, I sat at my computer and wrote a totally different type of Tracy story. It was called Hurricane, of course. In this one, I introduced homicide detective Doug Johnson, his daughter Kim, his ex-wife Linda, and her partner Janet. Still no Danny with Tracy yet. When did I finally bring the two of them together? In 2014, my friend Carol and I saw Styx at the Jones Beach Theater. This was in late June. A few days later, they were in Philadelphia, and that's when the band's tour bus burst into flames. No one was hurt, and there was no damage to the equipment. The band made a nice donation to the Philadelphia Fire Department for their speedy response. But what actually happened? I was curious. I decided to do some internet research into the matter, but I came up with no cause of the fire or an arsonist. So, enter Tracy Gale, Private Eye, on the scene. I was going to solve this one on my own, in fiction at least. I was churning out Tracy and Danny stories and having a lot of fun with them. I didn't want to reach the end of a story, then have to say goodbye to them. That's why each story rolled into the next. I fell in love with my characters. Tracy and Danny are the perfect team. The rapport between them is incredible from day one, and it was entirely natural. I did something different with my Private Eye series, and I'm proud of it. This is not a groupie thing. Musicians are people, too. The short stories here come after the events of my fourth Tracy Gale book, Uneasy Tides. The reason for this is that the series evolves as time passes and people get older or retire or whatever. Characters that are in my novels may show up in these short stories, like Danny's second wife, talk show hostess Blair Nelson. She was in my third book, Ratings Game. Danny's mother, Monica Tide, is in a few of the short stories. She's a spunky 80-something-year-old gal who was introduced in the fourth book, and so on. I'll end this introduction here, saying that I hope you all enjoy reading these Tracy and Danny stories as much as I did writing them. I'm very excited about Gale's Tales more than any of the other books. It's a collection of short stories, but each one rolls into the next. The storyline continues as there are other plots added. So that is the end of the introduction. So, Trish, how has writing for you changed over the years?
Okay. The main story in Gale's Tales is Century End. Century End is based on an abandoned coal mining community in Pennsylvania called Centralia. And it's a ghost town. That's the story it's based on. I love the story. Danny wants Tracy to check out the property for him because he wants to buy it to rebuild the town. And a lot of stuff was going on in the town. But that's the main story. And that leads to the next story, which leads to the next story. I really love Gale's Tales. Most of this is, I can't explain it. I love writing short stories that roll into each other. I've done this many times, a lot of times before. It's more exciting, I guess. The characters, Danny and Tracy are like a household main term now. Everybody knows Tracy and Danny. Okay.
Right.
Okay, because of some health issues, Danny has to slow down after 35 years of, the business. He's still rocking and rolling, bleeding. But he has slowed down, so, and that's a business, music. So he's also taken on some business sense of life, instead of buying property, building, things like that.
Okay. So, Trish, do you have a favorite author? You did mention Sue Grafton. Are there any other mystery authors that you like besides Sue Grafton?
I like reading books about the cops, FBI agents, and the detectives. I like the main character being a woman, a tough woman. Tough woman, cop and stuff like that. My favorite series was Sue Grafton's Alphabet Mystery Series. A is for Arthur, B is for, Why is for Yesterday. Because it was just one detective, and the stories were pretty simple to follow, and they weren't too involved. They weren't graphic or anything like that. They were nice stories. They were good stories. Now, she was a very good author. She died. Then she finished war. And she had cancer. I like Lisa Gardner. Lisa Jackson. A little bit more involved, but I like Lisa Jackson. I like Janet Ivanovich. I also like authors like Danielle Steele, because I like having romance in my stories, too. And that's just like with Jamie and Tracy. And this, I like the romance touch because I started out writing romance. Song for Love and Song for Remember was just great romance stories.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. So now that you've published Gale's Tales, what's next for your writing future? Are you planning a sequel to that last story in Gale's Tales? What are you going to do now?
The last story in the book is an FBI story. It's a continuation of one earlier on called Home Sweet Home, which is about a house break-in.
Right.
A house break-in young lands up with the FBI because of a serial killer of him. And so I'm thinking of rolling over into an FBI series. Tracy's involved,
cool.
too. Originally wanted to be an FBI agent.
Okay, cool.
She went to Quantico, she passed, but she decided it's just too much for her. So she just wanted to go to be a private detective instead. So she's going to be sort of working with the FBI as a consultant, I guess you might say. And so I have my FBI agents picked out. And so FBI is more involved, but I mean,
that ought to be interesting.
I've been writing since sixth grade.
Yeah.
I started out writing poetry.
Mm-hmm.
Mama vouched for that. And I used to sit at home inside the house writing poetry or reading a book or watching TV. My parents would say, would you just go outside and play with the other kids? Sometimes I did, but I preferred being alone writing. I created my own characters and stories, and it was more fun. I could tell people what to do, you know?
Right. Well, that's great.
So that's how I write poetry, because I've been writing poetry for what? Oh, I can't count. I'm 59, that was 11. I don't know. I can't,
oh, my goodness.
Okay, 40,
so you've been writing for a long
close
time.
To 50 years. Jeez.
Wow. Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I used to rhyme. And
so do you think you might at some point put together a book of poems? A book of your poems, maybe?
So I guess I'm a born writer. I guess.
Absolutely.
I love to write. So
do you think that maybe at some point you might put together a book of your poems? Because you've written quite a few poems, haven't you?
I've written other books. Oh, I've written another type of books. I've written an animal series, but that was a personal talking animal series.
Right.
That was my first animal family when I got married. It was a big dog and two cats. And that was personal. I never did anything with that because it was a personal. It hurts me too much. Patty had the stories on her blog,
right,
sweet of her, but
I know. All right, well, I don't have any other questions, so I'm going to open up the floor for questions. If you have a question for Trish, please raise your hand, and we're going to do this a little bit differently. Because of Trish's hearing impairment, I'm going to repeat the question after it is asked, and then after you've asked your question, please mute yourself again to cut down background noise. That way, Trish can hear more easily. So, Marlene, do we have any hands?
Another book launch. Because hopefully I'm going to be getting an upgrade on my cochlear device.
Okay.
Oh, that's good.
Later this year. So
that's
if I
great.
Can hear better, then I'm hearing you. I don't think I'm hearing that
that's
bad, but
great.
I'm not doing that good.
That's great. But do we have any raised hands?
No.
No raised hands.
This is Alice, and I raised my hand.
Oh, okay. Why don't you go ahead then, Alice?
Okay, sorry.
That's all right.
Congratulations, Trish. And Abby, I hope you convey that also.
I will.
And hear my voice. It's wonderful what you have done with all of your books in this collection of short stories. And two of my favorites were Home Sweet Home and Century End. And because I grew up in a coal mining community and my house was right around an abandoned coal mine, I would like to know how you came up with the idea of including a community of an abandoned coal mine area in your short story, Century End.
Okay, so what Alice is asking, Trisha, she wants to know how you came up with the idea for a coal mining town for your story, Century's End.
Oh, Kevin saw a documentary on Centralia in Pennsylvania, and it was also about Long Island being haunted. I was going to write a story about Poltergeist, story of Tracy, and then I realized too many people have done that about Long Island. There have been too many movies about that. So I decided Century End is so wonderful, now Centralia is so wonderful, that I just decided I wanted to play with it, and I just kept building a story. I don't know where I came up with the title Century End. It just seemed to fit because it happened in the 60s. And the Tracy stories are in, like, say, I think it was like something like 2009 or something like that. I think it's 2011 now, something in the story. So that's sort of the Century End. You know, after the fire in Centralia was the late 60s, I think. Okay. So, in a way, to 2000 was Century End.
Okay. Well,
I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, but it does make sense. That's interesting.
That's just what I came up with.
And right, okay.
It just fits.
It just happened. Yeah, exactly. I know what you mean. Okay.
I think very often my titles, Kevin comes up with most of my titles, but my books, Gale's Tales, he came up with the band's Tidal Wave. I was originally going to call them Heat Wave, Danny Tartan Heat Wave, but there's already a copyrighted rock band called Heat Wave.
Okay. Yeah.
So he goes, his name is Tide. Make it Tidal Wave.
Tidal Wave. Absolutely. Okay. That makes sense. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. All right.
So he's I came up with Century End, that one, but I was trying to figure out what can I call the short story book? And Kevin spells on my back. That's when he writes on my back. That's when he takes his finger and writes letters on my back. Okay. And he wrote, how about Gail's Tales?
Right.
Holy cow. That's
right.
Sexy.
Yeah.
Sexy. Okay.
Yes.
It came up with an idea for a story that I just wrote that I'll send you, you know, to Patty. I'd like to get posted tomorrow on Party Line, but first part at least. Okay. So, okay.
All right. Well, that sounds interesting. So do we have another hands?
Annie's.
Yeah.
Trish has some special people here today. Her mother, Ginny, and some other special people. Maybe they'd like to say hello and introduce themselves and speak up.
My mom.
Yeah.
I keep my books. So my mom, Kevin, my mom, and Henry.
Oh, Henry's there.
But Kevin, I'm Henry. And to Patty. And to my friend Scott.
Oh.
Okay.
Well.
But I'm proud of her. I'm very proud of her. She followed her dream and she's still at it. So that's my
I want to say, just behind your eyes, I love that organization. You guys have helped me so much, including Patty.
Enjoy doing it.
Okay. Thank you. You've changed my life forever. You've helped me so much. I love all of you. I really do.
Thank you. Okay. I'm very proud of her.
That's great. Would anyone else like to ask a question or make a comment?
Can you hear me, everybody?
Yes
ma'am.
Okay. This is Leonore Dvorkin. I'm Trish's editor. My husband and I are her editors, and we got the book produced, and I thought you all might like to possibly know something about the cover, because Trish keeps saying over and over again how much everybody loves the cover, and it does show a really rickety old abandoned house with all kinds of overgrown foliage. It's got big evergreens in the background and then really overgrown foliage in the front. And I just couldn't believe how, I mean, of course, we just found the image online the way we do on Shutterstock for almost all of our covers that we do for people. But this one just so closely matched what was in the story that I just thought it was wonderful. The picture is actually from someplace in Alaska, but in the book, I mean, of course, I saw that it was in Pennsylvania, and I looked up the real ghost town. That is it, Centralia, I think is the name.
Yes.
And I looked it up online, and and it just was remarkable how, you know, how much the general area looked like the picture that I found for the cover. So it just couldn't have been better. And it's very creepy looking. So, and the story's pretty creepy.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, right.
So that was just such luck. I mean, it's rare that we can find something that matches the story.
It looks like Mayberry from Andy Griffith.
Oh, Mayberry from Andy
Griffith. In my head, that's what it looks like. It was from the 50s and 60s in town.
The house is all gray.
And that's what Danny wants to build it up to look like again.
Yeah, the house is mainly all gray and with shingles all over the side that are all rickety looking, and it's very rundown looking. It's just a fantastic picture. It really is. So this was different. This was her first book of stories, as you all know from what she said. All the others were novels, which we also edited. And so this was the first book of stories, and I thought it was a very interesting take, a little different. And as she said, most of the stories kind of roll into each other, which is also a little different from the way most people do stories. I think it would be great, Trish, if you did more such things in the future, you know, more stories. I liked it a lot. I liked working on it.
This is Annie. Diane Landy just put something in the text that says the cover sounds perfect. So there you go.
Well, thank you. It really is. It's just great. And and I've shown it to several people who haven't read the book, but they just love the cover. So it's a winner.
Leonore, this is Alice. Is there anything you can tell us about the back cover?
There's a rumor going around that there's a carbon monoxide in the air or something. And maybe Tracy has to find out, you know, sort of dispense the rumor, find out who started it and why and all that stuff. There's a lot of mystery. It's a lot of mystery. I can't explain the mystery because I'm things away.
Right. It's a mystery about how people died in the town. Yeah, that's the main mystery of the town. Yeah, the back cover is just plain color, the way we do most of our back covers. And then it's got the synopsis on the back cover, which is, again, our standard way of doing it. And it's quite a short synopsis, really. Have you all read the synopsis, or would you like me to read it?
What do you think, Trish? Would you like Leonore to read the synopsis of Gale's Tales?
There's not a short synopsis. It's the back of the book.
For a synopsis, it's really fairly short. I would be happy to read it if people want me to.
I'm not to read it. I missed the book.
What was that, Trish? What did you say?
I said, I may not to read the synopsis out loud or something.
Leonore has offered to read the synopsis out loud. Would you like Leonore to read it?
Debbie wants to read it. She can read it.
Yeah, I can read it. So, okay, I'm starting here. It says, Gale's Tales is a collection of Tracy Gale mystery short stories. Everyone's favorite couple, Tracy and Danny, are still going strong, romantically and professionally, rocking and rolling and solving crimes. Tracy has to locate missing persons who vanished decades earlier. She gets tangled in murder investigations she hadn't anticipated. She digs into a coal mining town that's been uninhabited for 40 years and discovers secrets and skeletons. In the end, she brings long-lost family members and friends back into each other's arms and lives. Through all this, she and Danny are planning their wedding extravaganza at the Plaza Hotel in New York City. Tracy narrates her own adventures in these tales, as she does in the book. So that's it. So it's a little summary of some of the stories. I mean, very brief summary, but it's good. I like short synopses.
Yes. It's short and to the point. Yes.
Yes, right.
So this is Annie. We're at 7:35. So does anyone else have any questions? And we also want to share how to get in touch with Trish.
Yes,
before
and
Marilyn comes on.
That. Yes, I will do that when we get. I have her website here, so I will do that just as soon as we're ready to do that.
All right, cool.
So if anybody else has any questions, please feel free to jump in. And you know, if we don't have questions, we can certainly end early. I don't think that would be a problem. So if we don't have any questions,
Abby, Diane had a question in the chat before the comment, and I believe she wanted to know what brought Trish to writing mysteries. I know from reading her book, but if you want to ask that question from Diane Landy.
Okay. Well, that was kind of covered in the introduction, but Trish, can you tell us what drew you to writing mystery stories to start with? Why did you decide to start writing mystery stories as opposed to maybe romance or other types of stories?
I don't know. I like mysteries. I had to become blind about. Why did I change the mystery? I just started to. It just excited me. So I wanted to write like Lisa Gardner or something.
Okay.
And they will have romance in them. Mystery writers I read have romance in their stories. And I fell in love with that idea. I liked that idea. It was perfect. They're not straight hardcore mysteries. You know?
Okay. All right. Well, that sounds like
mystery.
Absolutely. You bet. All right. Are there any other questions?
Like this new, like really, really spine tingling suspense.
Uh-huh.
I don't like the stories of books that make me sick. I get stomachache when I read books like that.
Right. I know what you mean. Yeah. But yours are, you know, they're just right. There's not a lot of violence, but there's plenty of suspense and you're just turning pages and yeah, they're gripping, but yet they're not too violent and there's not a lot of strong language. There's not a whole lot of descriptions of lovemaking, you know, it's just right. They're just perfect. So, all right. Do we have any other questions?
Well, this is Alice again, and I'll ask, I was curious, do you plan to add a dog in one of your upcoming mysteries?
Alice wants to know if you plan to have a dog in one of your upcoming mysteries. Henry.
Tracy's based on Kizzy Milbourne from the Secret of Alphabet mysteries. That's who Tracy's based on.
Right. But Alice wants to know if you're going to have a dog, you know, like Henry. In your Tracy Gale stories, is there going to be a character like Henry in one of your stories? Are Tracy and Danny going to get a dog? Of course, the problem is if they're going on tour and stuff, that would be kind of complicated. Yeah. All right. Well, do we have any other questions? All right. Well, let me just give Trish's website here for anybody who is interested in her books. and you'll find the books and there are links to where you can read samples and purchase on Amazon, Smashwords, and other sources. And the web address is https://www.dldbooks.com/Hubschman. And DLD is D as in dog, L as in Lima, D as in D. And then Hubschman's last name, that Hubschman is spelled H-U-B-S-C-H-M-A-N. So I guess on that note, we'll turn over to Marilyn for some final remarks. Marilyn?
Okay, thank you. And thanks, Trish, and thanks, Abby, and everybody else who came together to help us get together on Zoom for tonight's presentation. It's good to know about the series and the preview of the Tracy's Tales book. We always like to invite people to visit our website, behindoureyes.org, and you can join us there if you'd like to. You can take advantage of the promotional events we have up there where we've recorded for a magazine, and in our own voices, you can hear many of us there on the website. We're working on our third anthology. We have Sunday night meetings twice a month. We have some classes on various genres, and also, of course, you know about the book launch because that's where we are now on our list. People can interact and reach networking with other people who write along the same lines they do, or to critique each other's work. We do a good bit of that also. We have Magnets and Ladders is our online magazine that comes out twice a year. Magnetsandladders.org is where you can find guidelines. We are accepting submissions for spring, summer right now up there. And we just love to have you go to our website, behindoureyes.org. You can find a link to join us from there. And you can check out other book launches that we've done. So that's all I have for tonight, but it's just been a delightful evening.
Well, thank you, Marilyn. And while you were talking, I was just looking in the chat because I know some other messages came through, but my screen reader wasn't reading them. But somebody was wanting to know who Tracy Gale is based on. Danny is based on Styx, but who is Tracy Gale based on? Is she based on Sue Grafton's character, Kinsey Millhone? Is that who kind of she's based on? Okay. All right. Well, okay.
I'm sorry,
well,
you may just start getting tired. Sorry
okay.
About that.
No, that's okay. You know what? I think we're finished. I'm going to turn things back over to Annie to let her close us out. And thank you again, Trish, for answering our questions and everything else. So Annie, the floor is yours.
Oh, Annie, before you start, could I just read the books in order? Because they are kind of in a chronological order.
Right. Oh, good idea.
Yes.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I want to say that the first one that I'll name, Tidal Wave, even though that was written quite recently, it's actually first chronologically because it was like a prequel to the other books. So
right.
This list is in the book, so I think that's quite helpful. But the way they go in chronological order for the story is Tidal Wave, Stiff Competition, Ratings Game, Uneasy Tides, and then Gale's Tales. As I say, that's in the book, and that's the way we set it up on her website also. So you can see that they come in chronological order like that as the story goes. So she definitely keeps it going, making it truly chronological. And as she was saying, people change, get older. And in one of them, she has Danny have a bit of a heart problem and so on. So that's very realistic instead of everybody remaining eternally young.
Right.
Young,
exactly.
And healthy.
Yes.
As we all
yes.
know, that doesn't happen.
All righty. Thank you, Leonor. This was wonderful. Trish, again, congratulations on your newest book. I look forward to reading all your books, as does probably everyone else that's come here tonight. I want to thank Abby for helping out, and Marlene and Marilyn. So we're going to end the call, and thank you. Look for other book launches as we progress through the year. And don't forget to go to behindoureyes.org for this recording and a future transcript.
Thank you.